morning.
Good morning.
On behalf of Nancy and I, we want to say how much we enjoy every week just praying for and talking about your children. We rejoice and laugh at the funny things they do, and we are so blessed by the growth in the Lord Jesus. We really do think about them throughout the whole week, and it's a great joy to serve here with you. You can see the sermon today is part three about, and it's about suffering again. I've never done two sermons in a row about suffering, but this is our third, and so there might be one more. The suffering that we're talking about is the believers suffered for their faith in Christ. If you're keeping up with the news, you know that Christians are suffering throughout the world because of persecution. For instance, in Western Africa, in Nigeria, over 1,000 Christians have been killed since the first of the year. And their homes and churches and belongings have been destroyed. The suffering, when they've done nothing wrong, must be extremely painful. We also experience suffering ourselves. Sometimes we suffer in relationships with one another. Sometimes we suffer because we're doing right and we are treated wrong in the workplace. Sometimes we suffer physically and our bodies are just falling apart. In all this suffering, I would like us to see that there is joy and blessing in the midst of suffering. So the first part of the sermon is about suffering can be an opportunity for joy and blessing. That can seem so strange naturally, but with the Lord, you can see how He can help us. The second part is a suffering, it can be a commitment to Christ, regardless of our suffering, caused by our commitment to Christ. So because we're committed to Christ, we will suffer. A statement that I would like us to think about is this. Jesus never promised his servants a life of ease or immunity from suffering.
Jesus从来也不许他的仆人一个简单或者是没有受苦的生活。
And when I think of a life of ease, I just mean an easy life. As a matter of fact, he gave us some clear scriptures and spoke to his disciples this way. So the Gospel of John chapter 15 and the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. In John 15:20, Jesus said, "Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." See the underlying words. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. This was said to the disciples within the last week before he died on the cross. I believe they forgot most of this because of the crisis of the cross and resurrection. But then once Jesus rose from the dead and the Spirit of God came into the church, everything changed. The disciples were so excited as they shared their faith and people became followers as well. Thousands were becoming Christians at a time. And then the persecution came. We can expect it. The storm comes with the sunshine. Now in Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, the scriptures tell us, "Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and cast insults at you and spurn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, and behold, your reward is great in heaven." There's a term in there that says leap for joy. I got to thinking about this church leaping for joy. And so I asked the students, is this a cultural thing for Chinese to leap for joy? And I was informed, maybe not here so much, but at home, the adults get really crazy. There will be a day when we see Jesus face to face, we will weep for joy. All of our sins forgiven, life forever, supernatural, everything, we will reap the joy. But Jesus says in this time, today, we're to reap for joy. And the more I thought about that, I thought, how do we reap for joy? As Christians, we have to go through this path to understand it. As we hold fast and hold tight to Jesus Christ, and then we encounter suffering, as we hold tight to Him, then we see there is a way we can move for joy. When we need job or money and it comes, we leap for joy. When there's too much month at the end of the money, we leap for joy. When someone is sick or ill or hurt, and Jesus gets us through, we leap for joy. When someone who treated us poorly or were mean to us, and we pray for them, and God clears it up, we leap for joy. So walking in His will, suffering can be an opportunity. Doesn't mean we will do it, but it's an opportunity for joy and blessing. But suffering can also be because of a commitment to Christ, regardless of our suffering. It's caused by our commitment. And this is very confusing, but you'll understand what I'm saying. Let's look at these words a little bit. I apologize for the font color. I'll use a brighter one next time. And I was also reminded, I remembered Mark said, don't use red letters, it's not good. I apologize for that. In the scriptures, Peter says this to his congregation, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. So the suffering was something far beyond what they could normally take care of. He uses fiery ordeal like you would if you were working with metal and heating it up really, really hot in a furnace. I worked in a shop once where we made printed circuit boards, PC boards, for computers. And we had an oven that heated up the silver metal so that it was liquid. We would then take the PC board and put it on a little belt, and it would go through the hot liquid silver. The silver would then adhere to the parts, and the board would come out the other side. That silver was so hot, though, it was liquid, metal. I would take a metal rod and pull it across the surface to remove the extra particles. The fiery ordeal Peter is talking about is just that.
Uh, 在几天, 几天, 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 几天,
It removes all the extra stuff that's not of Jesus. And this word testing was the word we use for a stress test in metal. So you apply heat and pressure and stress to see when it's going to fail, when it's going to break. The amazing thing is Jesus is with us through the testing. For myself, I don't always look for Jesus when I'm in the middle of those tests. I'm a little slow sometimes. I cry to heaven and say, Jesus, what's going on? And because I spend lots of time in the Bible, he tells me what's going on. Then I realize, it's okay, he's with me. This is an opportunity for my faith and my trust to grow. Let's continue on. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also, at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. The term share the sufferings of Christ is the word fellowship. When we talk about the church gathering for fellowship, it's the same word. To me, fellowship is when another brother or sister and myself come together, and then Jesus comes in the midst. And as we share in those sufferings together, the Lord shows himself. He says, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. And that's that word, leap for joy again. It doesn't come at the end when you finish the suffering. This will come at the end of all things at the revelation of his glory. This is at the end when the Lord of glory reveals himself to everyone. And Peter was an eyewitness of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when he was transformed before Peter, James, and John. He was an eyewitness of what was to come in the future. He's saying, keep on rejoicing. Let's get through the tough stuff. Keep on rejoicing. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Think of some of the things you may have suffered this year where you didn't have the focus on the Lord. How did that work out?
Focus.
You shouldn't feel shame. You should feel like it was a lesson that you've learned. The Lord loves us, and He's with us through those difficulties. Let's finish this section. Therefore, there we go. Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. This says we will suffer according to God's will. He does not plan our suffering, but He's with us within our suffering. And the term entrust their soul is a Greek banking term which means to make a deposit. He's saying, even though you go through these difficulties, make sure that you find yourself committing to Jesus. And in that commitment, you suffer, you allow God to refine and purify you. So, commit to suffer and do what's right to allow God to refine and purify you. He will give you joy as you become more and more like Jesus every day. Let's just think about that for the next maybe couple of weeks. What's coming up in your life in the next couple of weeks? If something doesn't go right and things seem to be falling apart, will you find your joy in the Lord? It's important to have the fellowship of the sufferings with other believers. So finally, suffering can be an opportunity for joy and blessing, and it can also be a commitment to Christ regardless of suffering caused by our commitment. In this illustration, I show this to our students all the time, my fifth graders at the school and here at the youth group. You will find yourself at one of the places the box is on the left. And consider, where would you place yourself? The first is, I don't have a personal relationship with God. The second is, I would like a personal relationship with God. And the third is, I have a personal relationship with God. Scripture tells us today is the day of salvation. We're not promised tomorrow. There were people in Nigeria last weekend who went to church and never came home. I'm not saying that's going to happen here. But I want us to be prepared at any moment to stand before our Maker.
但是我们要准备，我们每一天都要准备能够到主面前。
Okay, enough suffering now.
啊，痛苦讲很多了。
I want to talk about our camp for just a minute. We'll see at the end of the camp how much suffering there was. I have some pictures of the students and